Welcome back to NFL Rants and Raves. This is Jeff Ellis.
And this is Steven Randa for episode 8.09, the AFC West Assessment Show.
That's right. We're going to bring you all the teams of the West, or otherwise known as the AFC Worst, frequently the Denver Broncos, San Diego Chargers, Oakland Raiders, Kansas City Chiefs, not in that order, but that's how they finished last year.
Jeff's holding a different microphone today, so please excuse him for his, I'm on the radio. Hi, this is Steve Jeff Ellis. And
Mr.
Microphone.
Hey, good looking. We'll be back to pick you up later.
You're on the radio.
Well, I think it's just that I sound Rico Suave because I've got the big microphone the headset is off.
Well, we've got some NFL news, but we will be talking Denver Broncos, Kansas City Chiefs, Oakland Raiders, and San Diego. Chargers. San Diego Chargers.
Yeah, the Chargers. We'd sing, but there's no point.
Speaking of Chargers, we will be heading up to actually camps for two of these teams.
That's right.
When our training camp tour begins.
Everyone does a tour, and we felt left out, so we had to create our own training camp tour.
We'll be attending a Chargers and Raiders camp. We'll be attending a preseason game from both of these teams.
Yes.
We'll also be heading, Cowboys camp this weekend.
Well, we'll be in between, and don't think that, Steven's a Cowboys fan, so of course they have to. No, they actually come to where we live. That's the closest of the camps.
We don't have to fly anywhere. How
and
about
we don't
that?
Have to spend a night anywhere. We can actually just come home afterwards. That's but yeah, true. So we'll be hitting the Raiders, the Chargers, and the Cowboys on our training camp.
49ers.
And 49ers camp. And I'm 49ers sorry, I misspoke. So we will be four camps that happen to be closest.
Now, we also have permission to attend a few other
camps.
We can
go anywhere we want, Steven, but we've got to get there on our dime, and we don't have that many dimes.
We don't have dimes right now.
No.
Speaking of dimes, if you have a few of them, come out. We have just a few more fantasy football teams.
I think there's 10 at last count. Maybe 9.
More than just
11 is our inventory. Anyways, Rants and Raves fantasy football inventory is filling quickly. If you're listening to this right now, you should really go check immediately. Stop the podcast and check immediately in case they are already full. And if they aren't, we're sorry. Better luck next year. Trust me, we're not going anywhere. However, here this is the top 5 reasons people don't play fantasy football. Drum roll, please. Number 5. I've never played before and it looks really hard.
It's not really that hard. Come out and play.
You assuage no one of that question, but thanks for the drum roll eventually. You assuage no one of that. Let me tell you this for that particular
it's
objection.
Not hard.
It's intimidating at first.
Well, yeah, because you're like, well, how do you
I've never
draft
done this before. How do you draft everything?
We're
going
to walk you through the entire process.
Yes, the process is simple dimple, and I have known countless people that have won on their first try. Watch this one. See that? That was a dimple that I just showed him real simply. I've known people that have won with a computer drafting for them.
Yes.
Okay, so you actually don't draft at all. Now, look. If you don't understand what's fantasy football, then it's going to be harder. Get out to Wiki, look it up. We did a whole series of shows we could probably re-release on fantasy football. We've got some YouTube videos, if you actually go look them up, on how to play fantasy football with Fantasy Football for James, noobs, and things like that. We've done videos to walk people through this. It is not hard. The reason number 4 that people say that they are afraid to play fantasy football, Steven, drum roll please. Number 4 reason... It's just, I don't think you're going to make me get up in the middle of the night to do your draft, to do my draft. And that's totally uncool because I live in Australia.
Usually what happens is Jeff and I wind up waking up in the middle of
the
night.
Thank you.
And everyone else has a pretty good time to draft.
Exactly.
Every once in a while, someone who's like in New Zealand will have to, draft at 11 p.m., but that's not
If you can't
terrible.
Stay up that late, you're a weenie and you shouldn't listen to our show because you're a weenie. We all know that we can do that.
I think the very first year we did kind of mess
we
up.
Did.
And we forgot someone from Australia and they had a draft at like 4 a.m.
Well,
but
I think we had someone in Indonesia that was drafting at 3 in the morning or something.
Since then, I've been very, very conscious.
We regionalize, people. We're the only ones that take the hit of staying up. The number 3 reason people give for not playing fantasy football is... I can't win. I'm playing against Steven and Jeff.
Well,
if that were true, we would have won more than one of the leagues last year.
That's right.
One of the leagues.
We made a lot of...
Mathematically, statistically, we should have won two.
More.
Well, I was serious. 12 teams. You're right. We should have won 2.3 leagues, and we didn't. We won one, which means, yeah, we're due this year, so you might not want to play against us. But the likelihood is, you have as good a chance as anybody of winning. And the number two reason people give for not playing fantasy football with us. I think your shirts look kind of dumb and they're prizes. But you get the glory of winning. Hello? It's not about the prize. It's about the glory of beating two pretty good fantasy football players and a whole bunch of really cool people from around the world. But you know what, Steven? The number one reason people give for not playing fantasy football against us.
Because I don't even know what the number one reason is.
I'm making this up as I go along. Okay, I wish you would know that.
What is the number one reason?
The number one reason people give for not playing fantasy football against Jeff and Steven is, I forgot.
Yes.
Now, from all this, you have no reason to
you
not do it.
You should not forget.
You should not be that guy.
That was the 6-minute intro. Woo-hoo! On why you should play fantasy football with us.
Hit it!
Bringing American football to the world, it's Steven Miranda and Jeff Ellis with NFL Rants and Raves.
I'm sorry, I didn't realize we hadn't done the open, so I'm really sorry for that long open on fantasy football.
Denver Broncos, Kansas City Chiefs, Oakland Raiders, San Diego Chargers, all on deck. But right now, let's get to some NFL news.
Jerry Jones would not talk to Dez Bryant because, quote, shows you how pissed I am at him.
Yes, he...
But they have spoken this morning.
This is kind of old news. Spoke last night.
Well, I'm just trying to bring a full circle that they have now spoken and things.
They spoke last night.
And I have a high suspicion. Jerry Jones, very old school guy. You hit your mama? That's what the story says. The story says you hit your mama? Well, actually, no charges were filed. The case has been dropped completely. You hit your mama? Son, you really hit your mama? So he's a little upset about that, but he's pulled himself together, met with Dez. They're good. Dez is having a camp that is off the chain.
Yes. So that is there. That's done. The news right now that I want to talk to is the little riff up in New York Jets camp.
A riff with the Jets?
Antonio Cromartie, who has been moved from the defensive side of the ball over to the offensive side of the ball, said yesterday, I'm the second best wide receiver on the team.
Oh, on the team?
Yes.
Okay, well, that could be. I thought he said that he was one of the best wide receivers in the league.
No, I'm the second best wide receiver on this team.
So, Chaz Schillen's
he's
cool with that, obviously.
He didn't like that at all.
Well,
you know
what?
Santonio, thank God he didn't say I'm the best wide receiver on the team.
Yeah, well, you know what Santonio would do? He'd just walk him and punch him.
Smack him. So, but he said I'm the second best wide receiver on the team, to
could
which Chaz Schillen said,
what am I, chop liver? Something to that effect is the quote.
Chaz Schillen said, let him think what he wants.
I think he thinks receiver's a little different than what it actually is, Schillen says. He's unbelievably talented, and he plays cornerback.
Yeah.
Now, everyone knows Crow is unbelievably athletically gifted, this continuing the quote, very fast, but I played with a lot of receivers, and playing receiver is more than about playing fast. Said.
Well, you know, Cromartie, give him credit. He can run the entire route tree, you know.
I thank you. Ow. Ow. Wapa. Now, so, Steven, I have a question for you. So, welcome to the hot seat. I'm not going to play the sound.
Okay, hold on a second. What's with the bag?
It's a bag of tea.
Okay.
I'm out of tea at home. So, I'm taking tea from the cave.
So, you're taking the tea, yes. You can take your stuff because you never use it. It's been in the cave for over a year.
I know.
Over a year.
I know.
And it's
you
never
can tell
made
me that my crap that's in the
never,
cave,
it's
that's
never
my
made
personal
tea.
Crap in the
well,
cave.
This
any,
weekend, my job
Lord,
to clean this place. We're getting ready to start a season here.
Yeah,
we're
and
getting
I just
ready
figured
to-
we'd walk around landmines the whole time. As Steven has made the Rave Cave his personal storage house. And now, this is the man complaining about a nice tea maker.
I'm just saying we need to start moving things. And you could take, Not just the ice maker. There's your, you know, your
my saw,
saw which,
that you needed for your personal use,
which I returned to you over 3 months ago, but you won't take it back.
Which I appreciate you getting it to the cave.
It's just sitting there.
Okay,
and now, I've been telling you in there.
Okay,
it is.
What else is mine? That's here.
I don't know. Stuff on the floor.
Like what?
Some boxes.
Like what? The Dallas Cowboys junk.
There's boxes over there. The box.
Oh, there is
stuff.
A Saints pennant. You're right about that. Yeah. So, what percentage of my personal belongings would be in the
10%,
cave?
10%.
Relative to the mess.
I'm just saying, take the stuff. Take it with you. That's all I'm saying.
And don't worry about the 90. Ignore the 90.
The 90 is going to stay here. It just needs to get cleaned.
It's going
to
stay here?
It has to be.
Is it paying rent?
It's going to. Well,
We could lease out the cave when we're not using. I'm good with that.
Okay.
And we've made it clear to all LA talent that if you want a cool studio, you can always come use the Wave Cave.
Yes. Now with, or soon to be with an ISDN line.
With an ISDN box. We have an ISDN box. We have an ISDN line. We just have a
that
microphone.
That was the upgrade yesterday, which kind of prevented
it kind
us from working in the cave.
And the XLR connector is now stuck inside.
We didn't have to go there. We just need to say the upgrade
is remarkably cool.
We couldn't work yesterday because they were working.
But it became an issue eventually that required some additional time, and we're just so glad you're here. Other NFL news besides, you were on the hot seat, and you tried to get off of it bringing an iced tea into this.
Seat. Okay.
I don't know an iced tea song, otherwise I'd make a rapping joke here. So, Stephen, is Antonio Cromartie right? Is he possibly right? I say yes. Possibly.
I need to see him play. I've never seen him play wide receiver.
I understand
How can
that.
You possibly say that when you've not even seen the guy take a snap at the wide receiver position?
But the guy plays a little bit of catch, probably.
Look, Chad Sillins made some great plays for the Jets last year.
He did.
And he wasn't even the second guy on the team.
What team top five in drop passes last year? New York Jets?
Yeah,
New York Jets. So we've had a lot of drop passes. Chad Schillen's no exception and awfully big part of that. So my question
is... Cromartie wants to say he's the second best cornerback on the team. I will accept that because the best cornerback on the team
is
Reeves. Right.
Yeah.
He wants to come in and say, I'm the second best wide receiver on the team. I don't know much about him because I've never seen him take a single snap at the wide receiver position.
Don't know much about receiverology.
He's in camp every day, so he sees the other receivers. I'm like, I'm in that dude. So you got to maybe take him at his word, but until I see him play ball, I'm not saying he's the second best wide receiver on the team.
I just asked if it was, possible.
Is it possible? Sure.
And I don't mean like there's Martians.
Is it possible that Bigfoot's walking around somewhere? Is it possible there's a Sasquatch? Is there possible there's a Loch Ness Monster?
So you're saying it's extraordinarily unlikely.
It's possible.
But you're saying it's extraordinary because you're putting it in the same camp as Loch Ness Monster, Bigfoot, and aliens. So you're saying it's extremely unlikely. However, it's possible.
It's possible. That's all I'm saying.
It's extremely
unlikely. You asked
me,
is it possible? I said, yes. There it is.
And you put it in the camp of the absurd. So, therefore, it's improbable.
Nobody's seen him play ball outside of the Jets players and his coaches. No one has seen him play at the wide receiver position. So how can anybody try and make...
Tell you if it's possible?
Tell it's yes or no.
Or possible.
Yes.
I say it's very possible just simply because he's got such fantastic hands and he's comfortable with his body in space and he knows how to do that.
It's very possible like Loch Ness and Bigfoot. And
I understand.
Aliens
I put it in the realm of it's possible like there's no traffic on the 210 right now. You know, could be. Maybe. It's 10 o'clock in the morning.
There's still traffic on the 210.
Might be. But I say, there's a chance. There's a reasonable chance.
Don't make me pull up the traffic traffic
pull cab. Up the traffic tram.
The traffic tram. I'm pulling it up right
now. I
want
to encourage everybody with access to HBO to watch the smartest show on television right now, Newsroom. This is not a paid advertisement. Steven and I both like it a lot. It's the smartest show on TV, and it's Aaron Sorkin.
Which means that it will soon be...
It'll soon be canceled like many Aaron Sorkin
shows.
There
is traffic on the 210 between Lake all the way out to the 605. Heavy traffic. We got red.
You mean going eastbound?
Yes, going eastbound.
There must be an accident. That's very strange for this time of day.
Yes.
Very, very strange.
And a little bit westbound from Sierra Madre to Lake.
Yeah, that's always there, though. That's not, I meant like heavy traffic. Like,
heavy traffic.
Know. All right, so, very good. Thanks for the traffic report. And now weather with Stephen. Hot. Right. Damn hot.
So now, sports. I think I need to report this because the Jacksonville Jaguars are...
Oh, my goodness.
They're imploding. But the lone first-round draft pick yet to sign a contract with his team.
Well, he signed things, just not a contract. He signed a warrant for his arrest. He signed bail documents.
Justin Blackmon, wide receiver for the Jacksonville Jaguars, remains the lone first-round draft choice that is not at camp, that hasn't signed a contract. This is the number 6 pick overall, and you don't have MJD at camp because the Jaguars
not that
have
good.
Drawn a line in the sand saying we will not pay you. You are going to make your $4.5 million whatever, and you're going to like it.
Yes.
We don't care that you're, you know, account for 63% of the offense for us last season.
Hi, I'm Shad Khan, and I approve this message.
Shad Khan cannot be feeling pretty good about this purchase right now.
Well, sure, it's just increasing the viability that he moves the team to L.A. Because as long as the team is financially viable, it'll remain in Jacksonville.
But that's the thing. It's going to be financially viable.
Are you going to tell me Jaguars fans are going to be shelling out big bucks to see MJD?
That's peanuts. The ticket MJD's sales.
MJD's peanuts. You agree with Sean Khan.
The ticket sales of fans coming to the stadium is peanuts compared to all the other revenue that these owners are making.
The television revenue that gets shared.
Television revenue, the shared revenue from all the merchandise, from all the other teams.
So having an NFL team is so valuable that you don't have to put a reasonable product on the field to make money.
Unfortunately,
I think you probably do.
Really?
We might be getting to a point in the next TV deal that it just pays for itself.
Jeff, you don't. What I'm saying is you don't have to have full stadiums. Now, whether you put a viable product on the... Well, no, because you can put a crappy product on the field. Nobody comes to your stadium to watch the game, and you're still going to make money. So I don't know how he's going to lose money for 3 straight years.
The trouble's going to be when you get all of your money from the TV revenue deal, and 55% of it has to go to player salaries, and clearly you don't care about winning. So what are you going to do? You're just going to find a guy off the streets? Hey, Ted, come here. I want to give you a $3 million contract to play cornerback. Okay.
I want to be Ted.
Yeah, seriously. Could I be Fred and Ted and we go out and play for a team that clearly has its head where it doesn't belong?
Now, we're not saying Shad Khan and the Jacksonville Jaguars.
No, but
don't
I am questioning what the Glazers are doing, Steven, with having an IPO for Manchester United to raise some $300 million when the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are left to be one of the poor kids in the NFL. Mm-hmm. I'm not cool with that at all.
Yeah, I think actually the Washington Redskins and the Dallas Cowboys and the Oakland Raiders, for that matter, were a little ticked off at the league for them getting penalized for, as they said in that NCAP season,
my gosh,
going over a little bit, when there were many teams, Browns, Bengals, Packers, Bucks, who were way below the floor.
Didn't spend any money.
They were like way below the floor.
Yeah, when you go below the floor, you're in the basement. When you're in the basement, bad things happen. The basement coming
some
to a
of these teams,
and driving near you.
I think I said Packers in there. That may not be
Packers
right.
Packers were not part of the problem.
But there were several teams.
You're right about the Browns, and you were right about
I think it was the Bengals and
the Bucks.
And they
clearly
didn't spend enough money.
And the Jaguars.
Clearly the Jaguars.
Yeah.
Look, here's the thing. The guy is your offense. He's your offense.
Get him in there. Make
people
him
say,
happy.
Well, look, he ran for this many yards last season, and he only won 5 games. But you know what? He ran for those many yards on a horrible team, and even at the end of the season when you were out of it, he was still running those yards. Oh, and by the way, take all those yards away, you go 0-16.
By
the way, do you really want an 0-16 team?
Run a 4-6 defense against him. Run a 6-4 defense. Run a 34 defense. I don't care. And he gets 1 billion yards, okay? Where you run a 4-4 defense and you just stack the box and he still rips off all those yards, which we covered in the last show.
We did.
That's moronic. I want to get us over to some other big news. So here's this, Stephen. I'm coming in listening to SiriusXM NFL Radio.
Yes.
They have Mickey Loomis. I recognize his voice off the bat, covering the New Orleans Saints as their general manager today. He'll be taking a vacation pretty soon. Do you realize, Stephen, first of all, that we are just what's 4 days of 4 times 24? 96 hours away from football?
Yes.
The Hall of Fame game?
Just a couple
is
days.
Sunday?
Just a couple days, yes.
How freaking exciting
Hall
is that?
Game. And then we will have football pretty much every Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday from now until the season starts.
Hallelujah.
Wednesday, September 5th,
Hallelujah.
5 days
Hallelujah.
Prior to my birthday.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, I was they started the season
yeah,
a little
they used to start
before
on your birthday,
on my birthday.
And now they start early this year.
5 days before my birthday, which is great because it's Wednesday. It's Wednesday night football. It's Cowboys Giants.
Hee-haw!
And then you have Sunday. You have Sunday night football.
Yep.
You have two
the
games
doubleheader
on Monday.
On Monday.
Which that is my birthday. So there's a doubleheader on my birthday.
By the way, I worked it out with the commissioner, so that is your present and happy birthday.
Ah, wow.
Dude.
Presents have been
a doubleheader. Okay. Yeah.
Are the Cowboys
the strings
playing?
I had to pull.
Are the Cowboys
no, I gave
playing?
Them to you on Wednesday to start the season. But if you don't want
you
it, I can change it.
You gave them to me?
Well,
sure.
The schedule makers.
And you know how many schedule makers?
One.
Yeah.
One.
Uh-huh.
We had him on the show like 4 years ago,
yeah,
5 years ago.
But you know him? I mean, you've
I've
talked to him since.
Seen him.
And you've
but
talked,
we talked
to him
on
since.
The phone.
And you've talked to him since 4 years ago.
I
when
suspect you take my calls. He
show.
Seems nice.
All right. I will give you this.
That I
if
know
you could
a little
give
bit
me his name.
Greg.
Wrong.
Tim.
Wrong.
Bucko.
Yeah.
Do you know his name?
Yes.
Okay. I figured you would.
Yes.
Got the memory. What's his
name is Mike North.
Yeah, I wouldn't have come up with that.
He's the senior VP of scheduling and broadcast for
great
the NFL.
Guy.
Yes.
Really nice. Which
yes.
is why I'm sure he'd take my call, even though I don't remember his name. All right. So Woo! We've got John Carlson expected to miss anywhere from 1 to 4 weeks with a grade 2 MCL sprain. Guys are getting hurt in larger numbers, it seems
yes.
to me, this training camp. Steven, what percent of that would you attribute to a lighter off-season training and conditioning?
Well, this is really like
we're only running one a days.
Yeah,
still.
this is the first full season of that. So
I'm asking if you would attribute any of this to that.
Some of it.
I
can't put a number to it, but yeah.
All right. We'll see.
Let's talk about the Browns, who apparently are on the market.
They are on the market. We, as first was reported virtually on NFL, our Facebook and Twitter page.
It seems that Jimmy Haslam III, a Tennessee businessman, is interested in buying the franchise.
So I'm blanking on the previous owner, current owner of the Cleveland Browns. Randy Lerner.
Yes.
His football club that he owns is Sunderland, Everton. Anyways, his interests are far more in the footy side of football than the NFL side of football.
Yep.
And he is, and I think that's only good news for Cleveland Brown fans because I have been, in case it hasn't been abundantly clear when we did our AFC North assessment show, I have a good deal of contempt for how the Browns have been running things lately, and I do suspect that this can only mean good things for the Cleveland Browns.
Well, you know, General Manager Tom Heckert says that the future of the Browns is cloudy right now.
Ooh.
Cloudy. Now, I'm not really sure if it's his future that's cloudy or if the, if
Mike
the future of the
future
team
that's cloudy.
Is cloudy. Yeah, because, well, you know what, Heckert...
is he distancing himself from Holmgren?
No.
We don't even play golf, okay? He screwed this up. He started it.
Look, former Philadelphia Eagles president Joe Banner.
I remember Joe.
Is a part of this group with businessman
ownership
Jimmy
group.
Haslam, who wants to buy the Browns. Now, Heckert and...
Now, is Haslam the guy that owns part of the Patriots? that he'd have to divest
no,
from?
No, no.
Because somebody that also was very, very interested was already vetted by the NFL owners, so it seemed like it was a fast track.
Yeah, so if Haslam's group were to buy this, Joe Banner and Hecker did not leave on good terms with Philadelphia Eagles. They
right.
parted.
Right. Unamicably.
So maybe Hecker has a point where the future's cloudy, but I think more for him than for the team. I think you would get a general manager, a new general manager, obviously, if Haslam comes in, buys the team. First thing he's going to do is, I'm going to clean house at the top. I'm going to bring in my own GM.
My own president.
I'm going to be my own president
of the team. Do you replace Holmgren?
Yes.
Good man.
And, and I think he's actually going to spend a little money. I'm going to spend a little money on this football team.
Good. I would love to see that. And I think the Cleveland Browns, again, they're one of those teams in the league that is a perennial, unfortunate laughingstock, and it's no fault of their own. And their fans are the greatest in the sport. And I want our pilot TV show, Stephen, to be at Cleveland.
All right.
Well, I want to do it there. I want to go and I want to live the dog pound. Sam Bradford, Rams quarterback, hasn't been bothered at all by his left ankle through the first few days of training
camp.
He is
a left ankle.
You're a left ankle. Your face is a left ankle, as the kids would say.
I want to talk about this report. So there was a report on NFL.com that Chad Johnson.
Nice. Formerly known as Ocho Cinco, formerly known as Johnson.
That he was really starting to separate himself from the rest of the receivers there.
He moved his locker?
Miami. No, as far as standing out on the football field.
Oh, so he took Brian Hartline and said, there's distance between Brian and I as far as abilities.
He didn't say that. I think he just kind of showed his abilities.
It
No. He didn't say anything.
Okay.
Reporters from Miami who cover the team said, and a reporter from NFL.com who's covering the Dolphins, said that it appeared Chad Johnson had distanced himself, has separated himself.
My point of saying
receivers. Yes.
Stephen, was, who are you distancing yourself from?
Well, that's the
Brian Hartline? I mean, seriously. When the man on the street can't name one wide receiver on the Miami Dolphins that are named. In fact, when we met, what's his name in London?
Greg
outside,
Camarillo. He's
we
no
met
longer
Greg
there,
Camarillo. Though. He's with Minnesota now. But when we met Greg Camarillo, this is, 5 years ago?
Camarillo's actually now with the Rams, by the way.
Holy cow. He gets around.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. Good for him. Getting new contracts. So Camarillo, when we met him, the joke that I made was, I've heard they have wide receivers there in Miami.
He's the
other
guy.
Because they kept getting injured.
Yeah, you're the other guy.
You're the other guy.
You're the other guy.
You're that other guy. I knew that there was a couple of you. And seriously, and Greg Camarillo, stud wide receiver? No, but we haven't had anyone there in Miami.
Here's the point. Let me finish. Here's the point that the reporter from NFL.com is trying to make, is that what does this say? Since Chad, back then, Ocho Cinco, couldn't get on the field with the New England Patriots and was released by the Patriots, making him the seventh best receiver on that team, what does that either say about A, Chad Johnson, or B, the rest of the receivers for the Miami Dolphins?
Answer is B, the rest of the receivers of the Miami Dolphins.
Now, this morning, Coach Joe Philbin on the Joe's Rose Show said, whoa. The wide receiver position is wide open. Okay? No one has separated themselves from anybody. So now the coach is saying, everybody in all those reports are wrong. Chad Johnson hasn't distanced himself from anybody.
No.
So what you're saying is you don't have a wide receiver. If you don't have even one wide receiver who you could say is the best, is clear-cut number one.
Devon Bess.
So what you're trying to tell me, sir, is you don't have a single number one wideout.
We got Devon Bess.
No, that's not what he's saying.
No, I know that's not what he's saying. I'm trying to help and say, yeah, don't worry. It's going to be all fine. Everything's going to be fine. Steven, in the NFL news ranks, we need to leave the continent of North America here and briefly get over to Europe.
Why?
Where there is a Guinness Book of World Records event that's going to be taking place.
Ah, yes.
That has some NFL implications, and I want to make sure that we attend to that as soon as possible so this can actually become a reality. and it can come to fruition, because it's no small thing getting a Guinness World Record at all, because you have to pay a ridiculous amount of money to bring those people out from Helsinki or something to come out and actually observe your event and sign off on your event and accredit it as worthy of the Guinness World Record. So I mean, it's a lot. So tell me a little bit about what's going on here, Stephen.
All right. Well, we got an email from a listener. And
that's good enough reason. Well, you do that, we'll talk about your thing. Literally your thing.
Okay. And basically, they are going to try and attempt. Now, what is it? Consecutive game? Here, I need to find it.
Okay, you find it, and I'm going to tell this. That Augie's got up his latest column called Olympic Fantasy Football, and it's really fun. It takes a little swipe at the Olympics and puts it in the context of the Dream Team and the NFL. And so he's got his NFL fantasy football Olympic team where Cam Newton is the starting quarterback and Matt Stafford's his backup. Now, and you want to go out and you want to read that.
He put some caveats as to who could make the team.
Yeah, no, he puts
you have to be like under 25 years old.
Yeah, it's much like the basketball thing and much like the soccer thing where you can only have so many players over this age and things. And so he's got his reconstituted basketball dream team that doing that for football, and in the off season, why not have some fun and debate about this? So come on out to our website, NFLRNR.com, and you click on Augie's column, and you will see there's good stuff there. There's already a couple comments left, and I will give shout-outs to the columns. Yeah, it's a good column.
And we'd like to thank Augie for continuing to write.
Dude's the bomb. It's a good way to not be in school. And you're in school, but you're really busy. It's a study break.
It's a good way to not be in school. Okay, anyways, now back to the world record, Jeff. Right. The listener is Alan Young, and they are going to attempt a world record. The Scottish and Northern England flag football teams are going to attempt to break the record for the longest marathon flag football game ever. Now, they're doing this in an effort to raise money for the national squad, and they're going to be donating half of everything they make to raise money for Help for Heroes.
Good.
Which is the thing. So, on Saturday, September 22nd, until Sunday, September 23rd, in a location that they'll let us know, we'll let you know when.
I recommend Stonehenge because there's just a lot of grass.
It's most likely going to be at the synthetic pitches at Airdrie Leisure Centre in North Lancashire, Scotland. Okay?
Why not Stonehenge? You're on the way.
Well, that's true. It's up there somewhere.
But that's okay. Synthetic pitches will probably work a little better than real grass.
They're going to have people from the Guinness there.
To certify it.
They want to just make it public. They want people to show up and show support. Saturday, September 22nd, to Sunday, September 23rd, the longest marathon flag football game ever. Maybe I should fly over and get in and part of that.
Well, I wonder if they let me 3 weeks after that. That's the problem.
Yes.
If you could have held it 3 weeks later, we would have played.
Yes, I'll play in it.
Although getting up to Scotland would be a little out of our budget.
You know what? I'll walk. I will hitchhike.
Hitchhike.
I will sneak on a train.
Can you sneak
on a train?
Until the ticket guy comes along. And
but what if you hide from the ticket guy?
Where are you going to hide? In the loo?
Yes.
Okay.
Do they check the loo eventually?
Probably. Yes. I'm thinking that people have tried this before.
Right.
I'm just thinking.
What if you open the compartment to the top storage. And you get in there and you
hide. Want to see you get inside the luggage storage area. That would amuse me very much. Very, very much.
I'll find a way. Shoot. I am resourceful.
You are? I didn't say you weren't resourceful, dang
you
it.
You stick me in the middle of London with 10 pounds. And I will get up to Scotland.
You carry more than 10 pounds when you go there. But up, ladies and gentlemen.
Jeff being an ass, as always.
I need to know my weight in stones again.
No,
you know, what I
don't
find
care.
Is,
I do not need to know anything about stones.
So I'm going to say that I'm about 20 stones, but that's a huge weight range. It doesn't tell you as precisely how much someone weighs.
Really? Just 20 stones?
Yeah. Doesn't that sound light until you know how much a stone weighs? You know what a hen weighs?
How much does a stone weigh?
You know what
weigh?
A hen weigh is?
What is a hen weigh?
A hen weighs about 3 pounds. That's one of my favorite bad jokes. And you actually walked into it. Thank you. What does a hen weigh? About 3 pounds.
All right.
What does a hen weigh? Hen, like a chicken.
Yes.
Buck, buck. Okay.
Because a hen weighs about 6 pounds, actually.
A hen.
Oh, I thought you said head.
No, hen. No, the human head is quite heavy. More like 8 pounds at least. The brain alone is like 6 pounds. But right. We're onto a gross subject, so let's get back onto the NFL.
So anyways, good luck to Alan and those guys.
The location again is where in Scotland?
I knew you were going to ask me that.
Lancashire. You're going to find out that I'm not too far off.
North Lancashire, Scotland.
Oh,
but I don't know.
North Lancashire. My bad. So apology.
But I actually wanted to give the pitch name because they gave that.
Whom should they contact? Give an email.
Contact Alan Young. He's the head coach of the Scotland and Northern England Chieftains.
Okay.
I'm not sure if I'm supposed to give his email out.
Give his email. He wants the support.
Okay. Jimmy,
and if I'm wrong, Alan, I'm really sorry.
JamesLeon@yahoo.co.uk.
Can you spell that?
So Jimmy, J-I-M-M-Y. James, J-A-M-E, Leon, L-E-O-N, all together, one word, at yahoo.co.uk.
There you go.
Alan Young, head coach of Scotland and Northern England Chieftains.
It is now time, friends, I believe, for those Denver Broncos. Can you hit bang us into the Denver Broncos?
Denver
and our assessment of the AFC worst.
The Denver Broncos.
The AFC worst. I'm not actually doing cool radio guy voice, Steven. This microphone's that good.
Oh, is that what it is?
I'm just talking.
Okay.
From the desert to the sea, to all of Southern California, good evening. Here's what's happening at 6. That would be
starting
radio
with
voice.
The Denver Broncos. Well, the Denver Broncos have made some changes. This is the team that made
kind
the playoffs.
Of. And they said, that's not good enough.
They won this division.
We can do better.
They won a wild card game hosting the Pittsburgh Steelers, going to overtime, and Tim Tebow smacking them.
They won the hearts of a nation by having Tim Tebow.
I don't know about all that.
Well, okay. They won the hearts of 30% of a nation, which is more than any other team's
they
done.
They won the hearts of... I will admit, there were some non-football people watching the Denver Broncos last year.
Yeah, and now there may even be more. Because of one guy, number 18, under center. Ladies and gentlemen, the man who said literally 1 year ago today, NFL Network played a piece from Peyton Manning saying how happy he was with the decision that the Indianapolis Colts had made that would guarantee that he would remain an Indianapolis Colt for life, that his last snap would be as an Indianapolis Colt. He said that creepily 1 year ago yesterday, January 31st, 2011, and he was so happy with the decision that they had made as an organization. My, how things have changed. My, what a year brings to us, and he is now the guy in Denver, Colorado.
Wow, that's pretty crazy.
It was
crazy.
A year ago!
That's pretty crazy. I do remember being in Indianapolis at the Super Bowl, and anyone who was associated with the Indianapolis Colts, you couldn't get them to talk about it.
Okay, so the percentage of jerseys, Indianapolis Colts jerseys, that were number 18 that we saw in Indianapolis.
Huge. I'd say
put a percentage on it.
75%.
I would say higher. The only others I recall seeing was Jeff Saturday. Saw a few of those. Reggie Wayne. Saw a few of those. I would honestly put the number closer to 90%.
Okay. I saw some Dallas Clarks.
Dallas Clark. We saw a couple of those.
Some of those.
But that was about it. And then you went Johnny Unitas. I saw a couple of Unitas jerseys. The 90%, I would say, of all jerseys in Indianapolis were number 18. And that is going to be a brutal transition. We covered that last week with Andrew Luck. Good luck to you. But now number 18 is in Denver wearing the orange, and it looks weird. I'll say that. The guy looks the same. You can tell by the way he moves that it's Peyton Manning underneath all that garb. But it looks weird, does it not, Mr. Miranda?
You know what? I saw him come out finally wearing full pads.
Yeah.
And
it looks like Peyton Manning.
It looks like Peyton Manning. I mean, he wears
there's a way he carries
the
himself.
Uniform. Just the way he's...
His physique.
It's him.
Yeah.
You know, long neck.
Really long neck. He's a giraffe.
Away, like the helmet sticking out like away from his body.
Like it's a giant target. I didn't say that. I just thought it really loudly.
You did. Here's the deal, though. The Denver Broncos, they weren't very good last year on the offensive side of the ball.
I'm sorry, they were first in rushing in the NFL. Yeah, it's a misleading stat.
Yes,
it is. It's a very misleading stat.
It is. Are you sure they were first in rushing?
When your quarterback, overall NFL rankings, passing yards, rushing yards, first overall with 164.5.
They only rushed for 112 yards per game. I don't believe that.
I have a 164.5 average, and yes, it's from the worldwide leader.
The worldwide leader.
But they're not usually off by that much if they're off. 164.5. Okay. What do you have as far as their
I have 112 yards rushing per
That's
game.
That's crappy.
Yes.
That's piss poor.
Well, now you know why I was kind of like...
That's piss poor, son. Piss poor. Piss poor. Well, now you're making me go back and question the worldwide leader.
Are you sure? Are you sure the worldwide you're on, like, you know,
2011 season,
2011 regular
overall
season,
overall NFL rankings? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I will come over to NFL.com. It's just there's usually things that surprise me, things that start playing in adverts that start to show up and annoy me.
I know,
but that's okay.
And they scare you.
I frighten easily. I acknowledge it. It's not nice. Okay, I will look at team stats here for the 2011 regular season, not the postseason. Are you sorted by regular
Maybe
season?
Maybe I'm sorted by something different. Hold on.
That would be problematic. Denver Broncos, 164.5. I'm going back to the worldwide leader because it's more user-friendly from my point of view. That would be ESPN. 164.5.
Where did I get? Oh, I'm on the defense. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, there... the opponent rushing yards, 126.3.
Yeah, I don't know where I'm at then. I don't
well,
know where
you,
I'm
you might be in the postseason. If you see there's a sortable by season, regular season and
Why
postseason.
Why are you giving me postseason?
Yeah,
they played
thank
one
you.
Freaking game.
I know. And you know what? Who cares about the postseason? It's what you do in the regular season that gets you to the postseason
yes.
in this case. So, no, they ran the ball very effectively.
But look at their points per game.
Points per game were not good, okay?
Yeah.
I'll give you, and look, in some cases, it was a joke.
19.3 points per game.
No, it's...
And usually, that was the last 4 minutes. I mean, literally, I want somebody to take all the points that the Denver Broncos scored in the last 4 minutes of games and then give me the average points
look,
per game.
Tim Tebow was amazing. How it is that he dropped versus New England at Buffalo... And then the real shame versus Kansas City, 7-3. Tim Tebow would be the high man rushing in how many games, Steven? Look at this. 1, 2, 3 games he was the high man rushing. That's frightening. And he didn't even come into the equation until, was it out of the bye?
Yeah, it was late. It was later.
He came in the game versus Miami and won it in overtime, if I'm not
mistaken. Oh, that's right. We were in London.
London.
Oh, Chaz and Al, remember, guys? So we leave the stadium, and Miami's winning that game.
And we're telling him, just calm down. You'll be fine.
We get
You'll
out.
You'll be fine.
They helped me sneak into this place where I had left all my gear, the little kind of restaurant right across from the stadium.
There's nothing near the stadium.
Yeah,
you talking
right
about at the exit, the little carts?
No. Like an actual
we're
shop.
We're talking about Wembley.
Yes, Wembley. And there's the shop where I had a drink. You didn't. You weren't there.
I was asleep.
That's right, because I played.
Played
I went to go play flag football. Right. So I was out there.
Man, I'm so glad I slept that morning.
And I used this place to change, and they had lockers. So I left all my stuff in the lockers. I locked it, and I left it all there. And then we get there, and it's closed. This place is closed. And all my gear's in there, and all my clothes. And I'm like.
And it's not like Wembley central to London.
Yeah.
It's not.
I guess I'm gonna have to
it's
come
a $60
out here tomorrow.
Cab ride.
So fortunately, it's
a $12 train ride.
You know, Chaz used her pretty smile, and she got the attention of some guy inside who eventually let me in to get my gear.
What kind of smile do I have that's gonna make me successful in life?
You don't have
no. One. According to my fortune cookie yesterday.
Oh, you
my
no. You should just use
it's what
your
Chaz has.
Smile.
No, but it was a certain kind of smile. It was a like a winning smile, like a okay. You don't remember?
Whimsical
that's okay.
Smile.
I don't know, but Chaz has one.
Okay, so she used it, and the guy let me in, and I was able to get all my gear. But when I'm in there,
yeah.
I see the TV, I see the score, and I see that the Denver Broncos won in overtime, and I'm like,
oh.
What? So now these nice people who helped me get into this place,
so sad. Who I have loved to, the Miami Dolphins.
I have to come out and tell them
so sad. Too bad.
That their team lost in overtime.
So sad, too bad.
What?
So sad, too bad.
Yeah, that was not. So the Denver Broncos.
She and Alan are like, I mean, they're the craziest Dolphins fans
I
know.
They are.
They love the Dolphins. Yes. I mean, I think they love the Dolphins more than anyone who lives in Miami.
The arc that the Denver Broncos took last season.
I thought you were on
Tim
Wembley
Tebow.
Again. The arc that goes over Wembley.
No, that is pretty cool.
It is neat.
It's an arch, by the way, not an arc. That's an arch. But the arc that the Denver Broncos took.
Yeah.
With Tim Tebow under center. When he came under center, look, they were awful. There was a game where he threw, what, 8 passes?
And
they
seven.
And completed
7.
5 of them, and they won or something like that? It was bad football.
It was bad football,
but
you know,
they found ways to win games.
It was exciting, and it certainly became must-see TV. Denver Broncos games became must-see TV because of Tim Tebow. Now it's going to be because... Frankly, if you ask me, my fear was that I had seen Peyton Manning play his last game, and I didn't remember when it was.
Right.
So every part of me will be watching Denver's opening game. They've got versus Pittsburgh on September 9th, and that is the Sunday night game, Stephen. Thank goodness. So all eyes will be peeled. We apologize to foreigners because you're going to have to stay up really late. But versus Pittsburgh... Tim Tebow. God help me.
Peyton Manning.
Thank you. I wasn't anywhere around
against
his name.
Against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Peyton Manning
Sunday
leading the
football.
Denver Broncos against the Pittsburgh Steelers in Denver. Mile high. The day before Steven's birthday.
I'm going to go out on a huge limb. It's going to be huge.
You're going to say Manning's going to win this game. That would be a pretty big limb.
No. That's not what I'm going to say.
All right.
It's bigger than that.
If
the Denver Broncos defense is anywhere near
what they were last season, yes,
the Denver Broncos win 10 games. They win this division going away.
Yes, running
they
away.
They will go deep into the playoffs. If the defense is anywhere, because I will guarantee you that if the defense can hold people to, what was it? It was something ridiculous. Like... I don't even know what it was. It was the scoring defense last season for
the
Denver
scoring,
Broncos.
Opponents passing, they were eh. Opponents rushing, they were eh. Their defense played fiercely, and they converted turnovers into points. But they didn't put up sick numbers except for when it came down to crunch time to me. But they were very good.
But they held, I don't know, they held their opponents to something like 21 points a game.
Okay, I can look this up. If you know, the reason I'm not giving you stats is because one hand has to be on the microphone, and that makes using the computer near impossible.
So let's just say it was certainly under 24 points per game.
Okay. I should have brought a mic stand in.
There you go. We do have one right over there.
I was assuming you were going to accuse me of needing to take that home, and I'm like, that's a fine mic stand.
Okay, so...
Mm-hmm.
I believe that the Denver Broncos, who scored, 19 points per game last season?
That's what you said.
With Peyton Manning.
That goes up to 22, 23.
Are you kidding me?
25.
I've always said Peyton Manning's worth a touchdown.
30.
He's worth a touchdown.
Okay.
So I think it goes up to 26, 27.
Okay. When he was in his prime, when he was a Colt, it was 30.
It was. But I say that he is worth, he himself, being on the field, playing for your team, that's 7 points.
Right there.
Just him being on the team. Because of what he does, reading your defense, you can throw anything at him, he will find a way to beat you. You might get him early, but in the end, when he needs it, he will find a way to beat your defense.
He will get you.
So, 27 points per game. If the Denver Broncos can do that offensively and the defense is anywhere near what they were last year.
They've got
10 games without even blinking.
They've got a tough schedule, Steven. They're getting into their bye week. Let me tell you what they've got. So they host the Steelers. They go to Atlanta. Tough game. They host the Texans. Tough game. They host the Raiders. Always a difficult game. Just yeah, historically, even, I think it changes this year.
But even last year when they had Tebow, they were able to defeat the Raiders.
I agree. Look, but I think the Raiders are going to be pretty good this year, or reasonably good. They go to New England. They go to San Diego. And by the way, it just so happens they're going to play more games in prime time. They're going to play the maximum number of games that are not on Sundays during the day because right. everyone wants to see Peyton Manning on this team. I mean, they have more primetime games than any team than they would have had if Tim Tebow had been their quarterback, which I didn't think was possible. But they honestly, the number of games that start at regular times, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. That's it. They've got the maximum five games in prime time that you can possibly have.
Primetime games, yes, they do.
And that's ridiculous. The rest of their schedule after the bye is much simpler. So the real challenge for Peyton Manning and this team is going to be getting through week six.
The first six games, if they come out of there.
Oh, dude, three and three. They're set.
Yeah.
And okay. if Peyton Manning stays healthy, and that is a huge question. That offensive line must swear on their mother's graves to protect him. They must take a blood oath that no one touches Peyton.
It's better than a blood oath than to swear on their mother's graves.
That's preferred?
Yeah, that would be.
A blood oath? Okay. I'll go get a knife from the kitchen over there. If I can find it behind my coffee maker, I mean my iced tea maker. And
going to swear on my mother's
grave. The giant beanbag chair!
No one's going to hit you, Mr. Manning. Anyways, it's going to be an interesting season for the Denver Broncos. What I do need to find out is, are they going to have any sort of semblance of a running game? That will definitely benefit Peyton.
Now, we're going to talk about the Kansas City Chiefs.
The Chiefs of Kansas City.
Welcome to misery. I mean, Missouri.
The team that went from first the year before
to worst. It looking to reverse that and going from worst to first. Thinking, you know what? This is the wussiest division in the NFL, and that is correct.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that you've got the firepower to get it done, do what's going to take.
In the defense of the Kansas City Chiefs, boom, Jamal Charles out for the season. Boom, Eric Berry, their rookie safety, who was going to be the bomb, out for the season. Then they lost Moyeki. Then they had, I mean, they had injuries all boom. Over the place. I mean, they were the epitome of
Ship all banged up.
I mean, when you talk ship all banged up, it was the Kansas City Chiefs. You just look at them, and they were ship all banged up.
There was other teams that battled for that.
In the AFC West? Only them.
Oh, in the AFC West? Well, I would say the Oakland Raiders had a small case to make there.
They had McFadden.
Darren McFadden missed out, and their quarterback missed some stuff. They had to go bring in another guy.
Yeah, but their quarterback was, you know.
But they. Anytime you have to replace your starting quarterback.
It's not good.
It's not good.
I will give you that.
Okay. So, that being said, it was a difficult...
But it was in the beginning of the season. It was like every week.
It was. So-and-so's going on IR with a torn ACL, torn MCL, blowing out Achilles. It's a Liz
Didn't
Frank.
Didn't eventually, like, the Chiefs, like, wind up beating the Green Bay Packers when nobody expected it?
Oh, yeah.
And handed the Packers their first loss of the
first
season?
Or their only loss as far as the regular season goes.
I mean, they did lose another game.
They did. That was in the playoffs. And yes. I must say that I was making the point about SiriusXM, and I want to finish that point. So I was listening to this. I like to finish stories.
Okay.
I hate to leave things undone. Listening to Mickey Loomis talk about the Saints, and the only thing was, how are you going to manage the coaching with all the guys suspended, and specifically Sean Payton and the backup head coach,
Vitt.
And yeah. Joe Vitt. And so how are you going to handle that? Well, it's going to be tough. We're going to do everything we can. Could you imagine if the story was instead, when's Drew Brees getting into camp? Going back to Jacksonville, just bringing this full circle, you can change the story by signing a guy. Right. And you can make the story not nearly as painful. Sign MJD. Okay, sorry to interrupt.
There you go.
So there we go. So Kansas City Chiefs, last year, they did pull off a miracle upset. You're thinking of week 15, December 18th, where they beat the Packers 19-14. And they also beat the Denver Broncos, of course.
Making the case of any given Sunday.
Yes. They, you know what? It was just, it sucked to be them last year. That's all there was to
19-14 Kyle Orton had a great day for the Chiefs. Threw for almost 299 yards passing in that game. And they somehow, I think that kind of, it sucked a little bit of the life out of the Packers. They were going for it. They wanted to be undefeated.
Mm-hmm.
And they lost to Kansas City, and then they brought in, and then they brought in, yes, to play that last game against the Giants, and he played great, and he played brilliantly, and he threw for like all kinds of records and stuff. The Chiefs, when at full strength, when they play the type of football that the Chiefs can play, running the football, dominating and controlling the clock, and playing fierce defense, they're a pretty good football team.
Jamal Charles, Peyton Hillis, Dexter McCluster. You've got a great running team. You've got the Caboose, Tony Moyecki, Jordan Baldwin, Dwayne Bowe, who I think still has a lot left in the tank,
yeah,
frankly.
But is not in camp right now because he doesn't.
We expect him to show up at some point, but we will monitor the development. Yes, he was their leading pass receiver
the
last three seasons. Pay the man. It's really simple.
When he's your best receiver for three straight years,
then pay him. And you're not paying him for the future. You're paying him for the past. It's compensatory. Okay? But Matt Cassel will be back under center. Should they have done everything to hang on to Kyle Orton?
They should have done a little bit better.
I think so, too. I think saying that Matt Cassel is our long-term solution. Matt Cassel's just the luckiest guy in the world. He came into a really fantastic situation there in New England and has parlayed that like no one I've ever seen. Take a single season where you won 11 games with the New England Patriots in a system that was perfect. And then he parlayed it into a big buck contract. Good for you. Don't begrudge you that. But you're not nearly as good as everyone thought you would be, and which is why Kevin Cobb is not being handed. Not Kevin Cobb. I'm thinking of the Green Bay backup
Matt
who's
Flynn.
Now in set. Matt Flynn is not being handed the keys to the kingdom. He did it for one game. Matt Cassel at least had a whole season to point to. But we find out that now is more the New England system, more than your ability, Mr. Cassel. But he's there. Brady Quinn's there. Will Brady Quinn start any games this season, Steven?
No. Unless Matt Cassel.
Really?
Matt
so
Cassel
he's done?
Yes.
The good-looking kid who got his childhood dream is all washed up?
It's not that. Once again, it's they did to Quinn what they just did to Colt McCoy and what they're probably going to do to Whedon. These are the Cleveland Browns who they bring in a quarterback, and if you don't perform in your first five games, see you later, man. We're bringing somebody else in.
Thanks for coming. Bye-bye.
That's exact. And then what do you suck? I mean, like Colt McCoy, he sucked, really. I'll probably have to be the backup this season. Next year, I'll ask him to trade me. Maybe I'll get traded somewhere. Maybe someone will give me a shot. But no, now I'm just going to be journeyman quarterback, hopping from place to place, hoping the starter gets hurt so that I can get a shot.
Future ended really quickly. How on earth does that happen? Brady Quinn's what, 25? If
I think he's a little older than a couple years older.
I don't know, but it's like this bright star sure fizzled really quickly.
It did. And that Curtis, thank you, Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
They did that to him. They just did it to Colt McCoy. And if Brandon Whedon doesn't perform quickly, they're going to do it to him.
Scott Rickey stands behind him should something else go wrong there. I like their defense. I think they are headed in the right direction there. I think that especially Brandon Flowers and Stanford Route give them great depth in the secondary. Eric Berry at safety. It's like, forget about it, okay?
You just named a lot of guys that got hurt last year.
Yeah, and they're back, okay? They're very, very probable for the preseason, okay?
I just want you to know Snickers is very satisfying. All right.
And that was based on what? Is that a pop-up ad? They're
like,
on NFL.com. Okay, I'm on CBS Sports Line for people right now.
Oh, you've gone to CBS now?
I bounce.
Okay.
I've got a couple pages that I love.
I'm a bouncer. All right, moving on to the Oakland Raiders.
Raider Nation!
Raider Nation!
Sorry, I didn't know you were going to do it.
I was going there.
I'm sorry.
I was so sorry.
Yeah.
That's okay.
They open up on my birthday, Monday, August 13th, 8 p.m., Oakland Alameda County Coliseum, so, Dallas Cowboys at the Oakland Raiders, and we'll be there.
Monday Night Football, August the 13th, we will be
there. Talksport Radio live from the Black Hole.
Yeah, that will be pretty cool. Look, everything I'm hearing coming out of camp, we just had a buddy of the show, Sam Farmer, was at camp earlier this week. Likes a lot of stuff that's going on there. Here's the key, though. Carson Palmer has got to be better than he was last season, and I think he can be because at the end of that season, basically, they brought him in, they gave him 2 days, and they said, go start and play some football.
They told him, you will not play this week.
Yeah.
You will play a tiny bit next week. Oh, we changed your mind. You're starting tomorrow.
Yeah.
Totally uncool. You don't do that to quarterbacks. They've got new people in there now. They're so high in this. I was honestly, Steven, at the NFL fan thing at the Rose Bowl where we sat with Miss Trask, the CEO of the Raiders.
Amy Trask.
I just said Miss Trask. I was being polite. I've never been around the Raiders staff when they have felt more optimistic to me.
Yes.
Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that.
Okay. And then we've got beat writers around the country, but specifically there in the Bay Area, that are also very optimistic about this Oakland Raiders team. And it makes you wonder, this is the first full season without Al Davis back there.
Yes.
Since his passing. And I really do think that a lot of people that were hanging around were loyal to the death with Mr. Davis. But now that he's gone, they've been given the keys to the candy store, and they feel like we can finally do things we've always wanted to do. Yeah. And although they don't wish Mr. Davis was gone, they're going to take full advantage of Mr. Davis being gone, and they're going to turn this into a modern NFL organization. That is the sense I get. And everyone else in the NFL, look out. This is Raiders 2.0 without Mr. Davis. They may not be there this year.
Raiders 2.0.
But they've got a clear direction.
I'm scared. Mom, hold me. Raiders 2.0. Well, you know, there's some pretty good position battles going on in Raiders camp right now. You know, you did have Darius Haywood Bay, the wide receiver, who pleaded no contest to a misdemeanor DUI charge.
He said it's not even a contest. Sorry.
That's right. You know what? They made a change. They acquired Lewis Murphy from the Carolina Panthers at the wide receiver position. They brought in some people. They had a solid draft. They didn't have a pick till the third round.
Right. Okay? But when they got it.
And then they got them around. They got a nice offensive tackle. They got another wide receiver in the fifth round that they feel that they could use. Defensively, they've been pretty solid. They're asking, you know, their defensive players
stop
like Richard Seymour.
Stop the run.
To, you know, be more vocal, be more leaders for
stop
the team.
Stop the run.
They do have to do that.
If the defense can do that, this Oakland Raiders team can win the West, period. Just stop the run. Your defense is fine. You know, your passing numbers look abysmal, but it's because there was no balance to your defensive attack. Your scheme against the Raiders, it's very seldom you can say, just run on them, and you'll be fine. You'll dominate the time of possession. You will score touchdowns, and that's all you need to worry about. Just run the ball.
Here is also, you know, kind of a problem for the Oakland Raiders last season. They got to put points up on the board. Everybody is pretty sure that, you know, they will be okay defensively. But they left a lot of points on the football field.
Oh, yeah.
They were a team who you're watching the game and they've got a pretty good drive going and they're moving the ball and you just are feeling, okay, when's it going to happen? When's the turnover coming? When's the big mistake coming? When's the big penalty that's going to wipe out this drive going to come?
You're acting like the Oakland Raiders, I mean the Detroit Lions, where it's like you're destined to do something stupid.
But Allen, head coach now, he's basically, Jeff, they're saying discipline. We got to play more disciplined football. We still want you to be physical. We still want you to be the, you know, the Pirates, the Oakland Raiders, the mean guys. But you got to do it disciplined. You got to do it within the rules of the game.
Oh, there's rules?
Yes, there's rules. And we're going to learn those rules. We're going to learn what you can get away with and what you can't.
Raider football. If you're not cheating, you're not trying.
And I think they're going to change that mentality. If they can become more disciplined, they can cut their – they don't even have to
their
cut
penalties.
Their penalties in half. If they could just drop them by a third.
Yes. Join the rest of the league in the high range of penalties. Don't dominate in penalties.
Yeah. They're going to be all right. They're
can I give a shout
right.
out?
Sure.
Shmuel. Want to thank him for the $10 he just threw us from Jerusalem.
Shmuel!
Love you.
Thank you very much.
I love the reach of the show. It makes me happy.
It is all over the place. And show donors, since Jeff brought it up right now, show donors, if you've been experiencing an issue with your login,
please let me know. We want to fix it.
I've gotten a couple over the last couple weeks.
We're not blackmailing you for more gifts.
No, we're not. We're not. Just
we want to give the gifts. We've got our spreadsheet that we've got to get out to you.
Yes. And show donors, you should be getting an email. The fantastic preseason prediction spreadsheet
created. It's become
masterfully.
Infamous.
Infamous is bad.
Well, it obsess-
can it be good?
It takes it just. And I obsess over it. Steve and I sit there and I really. It is like it's every week and I'm making my picks.
Yes.
What frustrates me is I don't consult it more later on in the season.
Yes, you should.
I think I know things, and then I'm like, I can't believe this team upset this team. And then I look back. No, I predicted that back before the season began.
Yeah.
Because when you make these predictions for a season ahead of time, you take into account bye weeks. You take into account who's coming off a short week.
Right.
We factor all these things in. Oh, they played a divisional rival the week before, or they've got a divisional rival the next week. We factor all these things in, and that's how we make our predictions, and that's why we're usually pretty close, unless we've just read a team wrong.
Yeah.
Which happens. I mean, every year there's a team that I read just dead wrong. I think they're going to suck, and they play well. But generally, we're pretty close within a game or two because we factor all those other things in.
Which, by the way, have you decided on your team for the season?
Steven, I don't have to declare till the prediction show, but I do know who it is.
You know who already?
It is. I do.
Can you let me know off air? I won't tell anybody.
No, because I like you to be surprised.
Oh,
and
man.
I like that reaction on air to be so authentic.
It is. It'll be authentic.
No, it'll be a remake.
It'll be a remake.
It will be.
All right.
But,
let me tell you. Show donors, that email will be coming probably early next week with the spreadsheet on how
early
you can.
Early next week, we're traveling.
How you can get it.
Training got camp, it. Dude.
We are.
Start Sundays.
Sure, yes, we do. Okay, maybe before Sunday.
I'm just saying that it'd probably be a good idea.
Yes.
Because our lives are going to spin out of control really quickly.
Control spinning.
Okay, Oakland, do what Steven said and then stop the run like I said. And you guys are going to be really good as long as Carson Palmer can stay in there. And I think he can. The guy has not done a lot the last couple years. Don't let his 13 interception to 13 touchdown ratio bother you, the 1-1. Don't worry about it.
All right, and finally, the San Diego Chargers.
They're the San Diego
Superchargers. No, I can't do it. Well, I'll do it this way then.
San Diego Superchargers. San Diego
Chargers.
Yeah.
San Diego Superchargers. San Diego
Chargers. Pew, 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 pew. Steven, I was going to sing San Diego Chargers.
Just like that.
They ain't got nothing. You got to show me, punks.
Wow.
You little girls. You got to get off your bahookas and start playing some football and win back my love and my support as my local team.
Oh, man. So this must be right here, basically what you just heard from Jeff. This is what AJ Spanos was talking about, that the league, that the team has no respect anymore.
No respect! And you are my local team.
Because basically he says if you miss the playoff 1 year, okay, you miss it twice. And
I see a pattern.
Yeah, and so
Philip Rivers, I like you a lot as a person, as a football player. But damn it, You've got to fix this.
It's not all on Phillip, man.
Antonio Gates looks great.
Finally.
Finally.
Is his foot finally healed?
Yes.
Okay, so
we need a healthy Antonio Gates. We don't miss Vincent Jackson unless Ryan Matthews can actually stay healthy for the first time in his career.
Ryan Matthews was in a car accident 2 days ago.
I know, and he said he felt like he had been through four simultaneous games.
Yes, it was pretty
vicious. Two car accident. He was late for a meeting, going to the team hotel, and he went really fast getting on the freeway. And hit another car, and
fortunately, no one was injured severely. He did get some bumps and some bruises, but he's okay, thank goodness. But when A.J. Smith, the general manager of the Chargers, says, we've lost the respect of the league.
You lost it a long time ago, bro. Welcome to the party.
To A.J. Smith, I say, you need to have a talk with Mr. Spanos.
Mm-hmm.
You need to talk about maybe this is your final year.
It is their final year.
That's what we said last year. We said last year at the beginning of the season, that makes this year that much bigger of a year. If the San Diego Chargers don't find a way to win the division how it was set up for them last year, they don't deserve it. They got to clean house. Norv's got to go. AJ's got
to
go.
Phillip may even have to go. I mean, honestly, there is no stone left to be upturned in San Diego with the Chargers if they don't win the division this year, and I don't think they will. The history is not favorable for them.
Now, AJ Spanos said that he never questioned bringing back Norv Turner and AJ Smith.
Well, he's dumb.
And if you never questioned it, sir, I need to say this to you. Why?
Or as I said, you're dumb!
That should have been the first question. When the season ended last year is, you know what, I got to think about whether I'm keeping Norv Turner and AJ Smith. That should have been the first question.
Do we like the San Diego Chargers?
I would say we like them a lot.
Okay, so we like their staff.
Yes.
We like the guys.
Yes.
We like the franchise.
Absolutely.
So freaking, this is why you're getting this passionate reaction from us. Because we like you. You're our local team. We ain't got a team in L.A. We got to reach down to San Diego. So please stop embarrassing us. Please give us reason to be excited.
We will be in Chargers camp at the beginning of next week. And then Thursday, August 9th of next week, they will be hosting the Green Bay Packers in a preseason game, which we will be at as well. And it's just it's going to be interesting to see the dynamic of what their offense is going to look like without the wide receivers that Phillip has had to throw the ball into the past. Obviously, he's still going to have Gates.
But Robert Meacham's there now.
Now
which is
Floyd
cool.
is going to be the guy. He's going to have to step up to be the number one.
I say Meacham is going to be guy 1A, 1B.
Okay. You know, Meacham to me is a question mark because he comes from a system in New Orleans where everybody got the ball.
Everybody gets the ball. Everybody gets six touches a game, period.
San Diego's not that kind of offense.
No, they're not.
We need two guys who I can throw the ball to an awful lot.
Phillip wants to hone in on one or two guys that are his BFFs,
yes.
And he drives them, and they put up ridiculous numbers. Look for Antonio Gates to be one of those guys.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not sure Meacham can be that guy.
I think he can earn the trust. Now, also, we've got Eddie Royal on this team, and I think that's a really good ad. Now, let me tell you what I saw from OTAs when I was down in San Diego at OTAs. I thought their defensive line, I thought their linebacking core, they're running a 3-4 there. I thought their linebacking core looked stouter and more hungry than I've seen them in a long time, Steven. They're going to get after the quarterbacks that they fight up against. I mean, honestly. This Takeo Spikes was a great addition to this game. Letting him leave San Francisco and bringing him into the San Diego system where now he has a full offseason to work with these guys. And Donald Butler and Jarrett Johnson and Sean Phillips, these guys get after it. They were getting to Phillip on his third step of his drop. Okay, so that's also a way of saying I'm worried about Phillip's offensive line. Because when I put my questions to Phillip, it was like, wow, your defense, they're looking really good. And Phillip got really excited about the defense, yes. But what I didn't say is, why couldn't your offensive line slow them down a little bit?
Well, also, you know, I like what Philip Rivers said. Philip Rivers pretty much said 8-8's not going to win this division this year.
Hey, it could, but not with doesn't Peyton matter. Manning. How about let's be better?
Not with Peyton Manning being the quarterback of the Denver Broncos.
Yeah.
And I think he's got a point.
Yeah.
I think he's just, he's you know, he's going to have to motivate his team to say, hey, look, we got a guy who's used to winning 13 games every year. You know, in our
division. You always started the Indianapolis Colts, much like the New England Patriots. You start them at 13.
Right.
And you go from there. How many more are they going to get than that? With Denver, I give them, I start them at 9 wins this year with Denver in a brand new city, brand new program. Peyton Manning doesn't like to play outdoors generally. Well, you know what? Almost all your games are outdoors this year. So it's going to be interesting. An older guy, he's got to get adjusted.
I'm starting him with 10 just because that defense can bring it. He will. You know what? What I kept saying last year is, oh, my God, how good could this Denver Broncos team be if their offense scored any freaking points?
Yeah.
Guarantee you that Peyton Manning's going to find a way to score points with that offense. Right. Anyways, that's the San Diego Chargers. We are approaching the 75-minute mark, Jeffrey.
Which is our kind of our drop dead.
It is. We're going to drop dead.
Oh. They've got a reasonable schedule there in San Diego. And, again, this is theirs for the taking. They host the Bengals, some of their tougher games. They host the Ravens on consecutive weeks. Steven's dead over there, so I'm just filling until he comes back to consciousness.
I thought you said that was their drop dead. It hit 75.
12 and 13. Weeks 12 and 13 is going to be really brutal, but they host them, and that's going
to
be
their
advantage.
I'm looking forward to seeing some of these games this year. I may have to just go down there.
There you go.
I'm just going to do it.
For NFL Rants and Raves, those guys that have been trying to bring you the glorious game of the best sport in the world for the past 8 years, we say thank you for listening.
I'm Steven Miranda.
I'm Jeff Ellis.
We're out.
Championship.